to the book of John, chapter number 10. John chapter number 10, I want to echo some things that Brother Ed said a little bit ago, just thanking you for your faithfulness all day, but especially this morning, just just different people jumping in and filling in roles and just being flexible with so many different people out and sick today, and just want to thank you for your service there. John chapter 10, we're going to read just a few verses of text here, and then we're going to jump right into it. John chapter 10, starting in verse number 7, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And then verse number 10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, we talk a lot about living the abundant Christian life. I know that's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot, and rightfully so, because that's what the Christian life should be. You know, we should never get this idea that we're missing out on something somehow because we're Christians. You know, that this idea that, you know, there's certain things that we can't do, and just somehow we just get this misguided perception that, you know what, if only I was out in the world, there's so much more I can enjoy, so much more I can do, and that's not the reality at all. We are so blessed. We get to be a part of so much more because we're Christians, because we're part of the body of Christ, because we get to belong to the local church. And so many times we sing songs like, you know, "I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God," or, you know, "Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian." But so many times we need to tell our faith that, right? You know, so many times we forget how good it is to be Christians. We forget that, you know what, the Christian life, is it shouldn't be a drudge. It should be a joy. It should be something that we get to do. You know, one of my favorite songs is "Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm upward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." And I love in that song where it just talks about I'm on the upward way. You know, the Christian life, it's the abundant Christian life. We get to have victory through Christ. And so let's act like it. Let's realize that, you know what, while we're here on earth, while we're living in this sin-cursed world, we of all people should be the happy ones, right? We should be the ones that are living on top side. We shouldn't get so bogged down and so distracted and so discouraged with everything that goes on in our society and everything that goes on in our world, because we serve a living Savior. We get to be a part of the body of Christ. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, is from that song there, "The Upward Way," and just some practical steps that every single one of us can do, that we can find in God's word to ensure that we're living on the upward way, you know, to where, you know, we're not getting distracted, we're not getting pulled down, to where we can be as effective as God intends for us to be in this world today. So that's what we're going to focus on tonight, the upward way. Let's pray, and we're going to get right into it. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for allowing us to be part of Faithway Baptist Church. Father, I just pray that you would have your hand of blessing on the service tonight. Thank you for these people, their faithfulness to you. I just pray that you would give me the words to say, Lord, and just speak through me, and be with Pastor and his family as they're out of town. Just keep them safe and bring them back safely to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so with this thought in mind of the upward way, of being victorious Christians, living this abundant Christian life, the first thing that the first up that we're going to talk about is, number one, get up when you fall. You know, so many times I think we expect perfection of ourselves, right? Well, you know, I'm going to beat this, right? I'm going to get victory over this. If I can just work harder. And we put all the focus and all the emphasis on ourselves and what we can do, so much so to where, you know, even if we have good intentions, when we do fail, we're like, well, you know, we get discouraged, and we look, and so many times people steer from the ditch of, you know, I'm gonna beat this, and then when they fail, they overcorrect to the point of, well, I tried that and it's not worth it, so I'm just gonna give up on God altogether. And I think at certain times we need to just find the middle ground there, drive down the middle of the road like Brother Ed talked about this morning, and just realize that it's not about us or our works or our efforts. We should be putting our focus on Christ. And so many times when we fall, we just act like it's the end of the world. We, you know, we're going to fail spiritually. It's just part of it. You know, don't expect yourself to be perfect. You know, I'm not giving any of us a license to just go out and do what we want, because we all, don't get me wrong, we all have a responsibility to live pure, to live right. That's biblical teaching, separation, standards, all those things are still alive and well in the church today. Those are things that we should be focused on, but let's never get to the point to where when we do fall, when we do slip up, when we do fail, because we're all human, that we just, we think, you know what, this is it, this is the end of the world, I'm just going to give up on God, because that's not the right answer either. So we see here, get up when you fall. Get up when you fall spiritually. We already said sometimes we expect ourselves to be perfect, and something I put here is many times we allow Satan to beat us over the head with things that God has already forgiven us for. You know, we serve a God who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, but so many times we're not as willing, we're not as faithful to let go of those things ourselves. You know, God has a very short memory when it comes to our sins. If we're faithful and we'll just, you know, ask the Lord for forgiveness and move on, God forgets about it. He moves on and he wants to use us. He wants to restore us. But so many times we allow those things to just hang over our heads and we just cause ourselves to be limited for the cause of Christ, when if we would just put those things behind us and get up when we fall, we could do so much more for the cause of Christ. So number one, get up when we fall spiritually, but not just spiritually, what about emotionally? You know, what about these things that will creep into our lives like fear, like doubt, like discouragement, and we focus on things that are going on in society around us, and it's so easy just to get beaten down and get so discouraged, and we need some Christians tonight and in 2021 in America to just have a little bit of resilience and say, you know what, I'm going to get back up. Somebody slammed a door in my face, big deal, I'm going to go knock on another door. You know, the person at work, they weren't interested in what I had to say about the gospel. They took the track, threw it in the trash can. Oh, well, it's not going to stop me from doing what I'm called to do. I need to have some resilience. I need to realize, you know what, it's not all about me. Yes, I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. It's part of it. But I need to press on for the cause of Christ. We need to have a little bit of resiliency here. And Psalms chapter 103, verse 13 and 14, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are as dust. Again, so many times we expect perfection of ourselves. When we have a father in heaven who's not looking down on us, just waiting for us to mess up so he can squash us, right? You know, so many times we get the wrong idea of God. We get the idea that we serve this vengeful God who's just out, you know, just hoping we can mess up so he can punish us. No, we serve a loving father. We serve a God who wants to forgive us. We serve a God who wants to use us, who wants to help us. And again, so many times we need to just take the pressure off of ourselves and say, Lord, I'm going to give these burdens to you. God, yes, I want to live pure. Yeah, yes, I want to live right. God, I want to keep all of your commandments. But God, at the end of the day, when I fall, because I know I'm going to, I don't want to use that as an excuse to run away from you. No, Lord, I want that to be even more reason to run to you. You see, when we face trials, when we face problems in life, whether it be of our own doing or outside circumstances, those reveal who we really are inside, and those can either cause us to run away from God or they can cause us to run to God. And it's during those times when we're down, when we fall, when we fail, that we need God more than ever. So the first main point that we see here is get up when you fall, whether it's spiritually, you know, whether it's emotionally, whether it's circumstantially. Maybe it's problems at work. You know, maybe you're facing extra pressures, or maybe you've lost a job, or maybe it's a health need. Something that's very real and very pressing in your life, and you look at this problem, you look at this issue, and you say, I don't know how we're going to get past this. You know, I don't know how we can move on from here, and it's time that we take all the pressure off ourselves and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to turn this over to you. I'm going to let go and just let you take care of these problems. And we just need to stop expecting perfection of ourselves and say, Lord, I need you. I'm not going to be dependent on myself. I'm not going to be dependent on my own good works. I'm not going to be dependent on my own strength, because I don't know about you, but I disappoint myself, you know, quite often, right? And whenever we put all the pressure and put all the expectations of ourselves to live this perfect Christian life, this, you know, utopian dream world that we paint in our heads sometimes, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to let ourselves and other people down. So it's time that we take that burden off ourselves and place it on Christ. So number one, we said, get up when you fall. And one thing before we move on from this point, you know, there can be very real needs in your life. When I say get up when you fall, I'm not trying to downplay anybody's needs, anybody's storms, anybody's trials. You know, I almost move on to a subject like this very cautiously, because I'm going to be completely honest with you. I always feel whenever I talk about something like this that my trial is coming one day. I feel like God has been way too good to me up to this point for there not to be something up ahead. And I say that, and that scares me, but I hope and pray in my own life when that time comes that I would be resilient. When that time comes that I would run to God, not run away from God. And so many times when we find ourselves, whether big problem, small problem, whatever the case is in our life, so many times when we find ourselves on the ground, when we fall and when we fail, whatever the case is, we just want God to take us right out of there right then. We say, Lord, you know, please rescue me from this problem. Take it away. Like the Apostle Paul, take away this thorn in the flesh. But so many times when we read throughout the Bible, God doesn't want to take the trial away. He wants to transform us through the trial. He wants to use the problems. He wants to use the times when we're down, when we fall, when we fail, not just to take us out of there, but to teach us things through those times that he wouldn't be able to teach us ordinarily. You know, something I found in my own life, times when I'm down, times when I've fallen, times when I fail, times when, you know, I'm the most vulnerable, many times is the time where I can hear the voice of God most clearly. God can teach us things. God can get our attention in ways when we've fallen, when we're down, when we're going through a trial that he could never get when we're living on topside, when everything's just going perfect. You know, when everything's going perfect in my life and you know, all the bills are paid, so many times it's easy to have the attitude of I don't need God. But when we're down, when we're vulnerable, that's when God can get his way. That's when God can get our attention. And so let's not be so quick to get mad at God or to blame God or to, you know, say, Lord, this isn't fair. Whenever we go through these problems and trials in life, when we've fallen, just get back up. Let's be resilient. You know, I love the verse over in Proverbs. It says, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. This is Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 now. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. We just need to have some resiliency tonight and say, Lord, I've let you down again. God, you know, I told you I was going to get this right. I told you I was going to give this up. I told you I was going to beat this, and I failed you again. But Lord, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on church. I'm not going to give up on doing right. I'm not going to give up on what you call me to do. Lord, I need you even more now. God, I need your help. I need you to step in my life and to take control and to help me and pick me back up. And just because you've fallen doesn't mean you're a failure. You're only a failure if you stop trying. You're only a failure if you stay down. You know, we're all going to fall. We're all human. Again, let's just be realistic here. Let's not expect some perfection out of ourselves. There's only been one perfect person to ever walk this earth, and that was our Lord and Savior. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up. But it's when those times come that show us who we really are, spiritually speaking. Let's not, you know, when we're on the ground, say, Lord, I tried this. It doesn't work. It's not fair. You know, you haven't been good to me, and just turn our back on God and run away. No, those are the times where we say, God, I need you even more, and I need you to lift me up. And a just man, again, falleth seven times and riseth up again. And that's the first point here tonight. If we're going to live on the upward way, right, that abundant Christian life, we have to learn how to get up when we've fallen down. Let's get back up. You know, just a few weeks ago, a couple months ago actually, I had the opportunity to go with my in-laws over to Colorado snowboarding, right? And they are all very good snowboarders, me, not so much, okay? Yeah, I can't even ice skate. So that's something, my whole goal going into the trip, I had two goals actually. Number one, don't get hurt, right? I didn't want any broken bones. And number two, just get a little bit better at it, right? And I feel like I accomplished both of those goals that trip. And I remember the first day we get there, and talk about, you know, unbelievably, you know, an unbelievably beautiful place. Right? If you've never been to the Rocky Mountains there, you need to go sometime, right? It was really cool. And we get there, and it took like, you know, it's a big mountain when it takes you like 10 minutes to take the chairlift to the top of the hill. I mean, that thing just kept going and going and going and going. And we finally get up there, and you just look out, and especially that main run that went from the top of the hill there, you could just see forever. You know, it was an amazing experience. But something I found out throughout those days is it's a lot harder than it looks, right? You know, that run is supposed to take about 20 minutes to get from the top to the bottom. It took me like over an hour and like a thousand falls later. And, you know, I was getting so beat up and so frustrated. And, you know, my wife, you know, she's trying to stay right there with me. Come on, babe, you can do it and all that. And I'm like, just go on ahead. You're embarrassing me here. And it's just one of those things. I remember one time after an especially hard fall, I took off my goggles and I like threw them. And I was so irritated. And anyways, then finally I had the sense at the end of the day to move on to where I should have started, which was the bunny hill, and just work my way up from there. But one thing that I remember, you know, the thing that kept going through my head time and time again was when we'd be riding the chairlift back up so I could go through all this punishment another time for whatever reason. You know, some people just never learn. I kept thinking of the verse, a just man falls seven times, I fall a thousand times. I don't know what that says about me, but anyways, I must be super just. But anyways, and we laugh at stories like that, but spiritually speaking, we need to have that same kind of resilience because we're going to fall. It's part of it. None of us are perfect. None of us are going to stay up all the time. But when those times come, when we fall, we need to learn to say, Lord, I'm going to turn this problem over to you. I'm going to turn this struggle over to you. And I'm just going to trust that you're going to help me get back up and help me work through these issues that I face. So number one, get up when you fall. Number two is stay up when someone fails you. You know, so many times we put our faith, we put our dependence in all the wrong places. You know, we look to people, we look to organizations, we look to government, right, to find our security, to find our foundation. And I can promise you, you're going to be disappointed, you're going to be let down every time. People are going to fail you, you have to expect it. We can't, again, if we know ourselves, and we just talked about how, you know, we as humans, we're going to fall, we're going to mess up, it's part of life. Well, we need to expect the same from other people. So many times we get hurt by people because we're facing, we're placing unfair expectations on them. You know, somebody says something, you know, unkind to us. Somebody, you know, didn't acknowledge us the way we think they should have. And we allow our feelings to get so hurt. And we allow, you know, different people to disappoint us so much just because we forget, hey, that person's human too. That person's going to make mistakes. But just because someone fails you doesn't give you an excuse to walk out on God. Just because maybe a leader or a church or somebody, you know, treated you a way that you felt like you shouldn't be treated, we need to learn to realize, hey, I'm not doing what I do for them. I'm doing it for my Savior. I don't go out and I don't go soul winning and I don't stay faithful to church and I don't want to live for God because some person told me to do it. I want to do those things because the Bible told me to do it, because Christ told me to do it. And that's what we need to look at tonight and realize we need to stay up when someone fails. You know, I'm glad that we have the pastor that we have. We have an amazing pastor, and if you haven't realized that yet, then wake up, all right? But we have an amazing pastor, but I know he would stand up here and say the same exact thing. We shouldn't do what we do for our pastor. We should do it for our Lord. Because anytime we put our faith or our trust in people, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. We're asking ourselves, or we're asking for trouble, right? We're asking for disappointment because we're putting our confidence, we're putting our faith in a person instead of the Savior. I love the saying, the best of men are men at best, right? So many times when we look at a person and because of their position or because of their name or who they are, we think, okay, well, I can put all my confidence on, all my trust in this person, but realize, once again, people are people, right? The best of men are men at best, and our confidence shouldn't be in man. We shouldn't build our foundation on another person. We should build our foundation and find our security in the Savior. Again, you know, don't put your confidence in leaders. Don't put your confidence in a church. Right? I love our church. I'm so happy that the Lord called my wife and I here to Faithway Baptist a few months ago. I there's nowhere else I'd rather be, and I mean that. But I can't put my confidence, my trust in an organization, to a certain degree, when it should be on the Savior. I hope that makes sense. I hope you're following what I'm saying there. Because again, there's only one rightful place that I spiritually should build my foundation on. That's nothing here on this earth. That's not a person. That's not an organization. That's not government. My foundation should only be built on Christ the solid rock. I love that song. Since we're mentioning every hymn tonight, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so many times we get ourselves so mixed up because instead of building our foundation on Christ and Him alone, we're building our foundation on the shifting sands of this world. And if you're looking for a person for security, or if you're looking into a group or an organization for security, you're going to be hurt. You're going to be let down. Whenever that person lets you down, you're going to stay down. You're not going to do anything for the cause of Christ because you're doing what you should have been doing for the Lord for another person. And we need to all just evaluate, you know, who am I serving God for? Am I doing it to please Him, or am I doing it to please, you know, so-and-so? Am I living for God because I love Him, because I want to make a difference for eternity, or because, you know, people expect me to do it, and it's just part of the routine that I've built throughout my life, and I've just done this so long, I don't know why I do it anymore. And we need to just reevaluate, why are we Christians? Why are we in this room tonight? Why are we at church? And if the answer is anything other than to please our Savior, then we're doing it for the wrong reasons. And if, again, if your confidence, if your trust, if your reason for living for God is in another individual or in another group, if it's anything other than the Savior, then that reason one day is going to not be valid. You're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to walk away from God, never come back. And don't blame it on the person. Don't blame it on the church when that time comes. It's your own fault for putting your confidence, for putting your faith in anything other than the Savior. I love a saying that my father-in-law gives so many times: if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll mess it up, right? And so many times we think the problem is everybody else. We jump around from person to person to person, from place to place to place, and the problem is always everybody else, when really, no matter where I go, I have to take myself with me, and my problems are going to follow me wherever I go. The grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. And we need to just realize, you know what, I don't do what I do for Faithway Baptist Church. As great as our pastor is, we shouldn't do what we do for our pastor. And I know he would say the same thing. We should do what we do for our Savior. And that's where we should find our confidence. That's where we can build our foundation, because that is the one person that will never change. That's the one person. The verse, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is never going to let you down. He's never going to change. He's never going to change his opinion or change his stance or change his mind. He's always been the same. He always has been, always will be. So if we'll put him as our foundation, we'll build on him and make him the centerpiece and the focus of our life, that's the only way that we're going to be able to stay up when all the people around us are disappointing us and letting us down. So number one, we said, get up when you fall. Number two, stay up when someone fails you. And then the third thing is lift up someone who is hurting. You know, if we would just stop for a second and look around, there's so many people all around us that we could be a blessing to each and every day. You know, there's so many people who are going through problems that so many times we have no idea. We're so self-centered, I'm so focused on me to where I'm missing opportunities to be a blessing to other people. You know, maybe the waiter at the restaurant, right? You're like, what's their problem? Well, you don't know what they're going through either. And somebody, you know, cuts you off and you get mad, and I'm the worst with road rage too, I get it. But so many times we're so self-absorbed, and it's all about my problem. It's all about what I'm going through, and it's me so much to where I don't just stop and look around and say, you know what, I'm missing opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. You know, let's talk about practically speaking, right? It doesn't cost anything to shoot somebody a text and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, I thought about, and if you do that, make sure you're actually praying for them, right? You know, let's not be liars here, but that doesn't cost a thing. It doesn't cost a thing to go up to somebody, shake their hand, and say, hey, it's good to see you today. You know, we've lost this just basic kindness, right? Just basic thoughtfulness. And these are all things where you have no idea what that person is going through. And if we would just take our eyes off ourselves for a moment and look at the world around us, we could be used by God so much more than we are to be a blessing to people. Let's lift up people who are falling. That was in a practical sense, but what about in a spiritual sense? You know, I've heard the statement, and I hope it's not, I don't think it's true here, but it's a very convicting statement where it says the Christian army is the only one who shoots its own wounded. That's pretty powerful when you stop and think about it. You know, we're so prone, we're so quick when somebody fails, when somebody falls into sin, right, to sit up on our high horse and say, well, God bless, you wicked reprobate, and just try to beat them upside the head with everything, when what we should be doing is say, hey, let me help you. Hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, you know, God is in the business of restoration. We know that, right? If you look all throughout the Bible, you know, characters like Moses, like David, like Paul, like Peter, people who fail God miserably at different points in their life, and God used them to do great things after that. But so many times we look at someone who's fallen, we look at someone who's done something that we don't agree with, and maybe they have messed up. Maybe they've made a mess of their life, but what they don't need at that time is to somebody to kick them while they're down. They need somebody who's gonna lift them up. You know, I think every time I speak in public, I mention something about sports. It's just part of me. I'm sorry. But you know, whenever you look at a sports team, right, you know, a basketball player will take a charge, or there will be a hard foul or something. You can always tell if a team has good chemistry or not, right, if the other players run up and try to help that player up. You know, normally you see that. Somebody, they'll get fouled pretty hard, and they'll be on the ground. You'll see three or four guys just run over and reach down and help them up, right? Does it take three or four guys to help somebody up? No, but it just shows, hey, that team, they care about each other. That team has good chemistry. But every now and then you look, and there's a team, and, you know, maybe they're fighting on the court, and they're arguing back and forth, and somebody gets knocked down, and he's looking, say, anybody going to help me up? And it's just nobody there. And so many times that's how we are as churches. You know, somebody falls, and help is nowhere to be found. Somebody makes a mistake, somebody falls into sin, instead of having other spiritually mature Christians say, hey, let me help you. Hey, you know, let me try to bring you back. Hey, let me reach out to you. I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can do? We say, well, I can't believe you do that. Not realizing that we're made out of the same flesh as that person. And one day when we're the ones that are down, we're going to want somebody to reach down and help us out. And we just need to realize tonight that the time to, when somebody is down on the ground, the last thing they need is somebody to kick them. They need somebody who will reach down, who will restore. Go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 6 real quick. Galatians chapter 6, we'll read three verses on this topic of restoration. If you don't believe that God is in this business of restoration, here's a verse for you right here. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." I love right there at the beginning of it. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one." So if you're not in the business of restoration, if you're not looking for people to lift up, if you're not looking for someone to help, that says more about your own spirituality than that person's. Because that verse very clearly and directly says, hey, if you're spiritual, you're going to reach down and you're going to try to restore people back to the fold. You know something? We work way too hard in trying to go out into a lost world and reach people and try to disciple them and train them and bring them in to just allow other Christians who have been given so much just to go away, to kick them to the curb. You know what? I would mention this a lot of times to our bus workers back when I was a bus captain just a few months ago up in Hammond. And something I would mention, I was like, guys, you know, we knock on doors and we spend hours and hours a week and we meet these kids and they come, you know, maybe morning church, night church, and then we raise money and try to get them into a Christian school, all just for the hope that God will do something with their life one day. And so many times he has. But then when one of our fellow workers messes up, right, our fellow Christians who have already been invested in, who have already gone up through Christian school, who have already grown up in church, and they already know how to go soul winning, they know it all here. When that person falls and that person's struggling, we just kick them to the curb and say, whatever. No, we work way too hard to reach people to just push other Christians while they're down. We need to realize that, hey, when that person's down, when that person messes up, that's the time where more than ever, they need somebody who's spiritually mature to reach down, to lift them up, to try to restore them back to the fold, to try to bring them back to the Savior. And that's what we need here. If we want to live topside, if we want to live on that upward way, we mentioned at the very beginning there, we have to learn to get up when we fall. We're going to make mistakes. We're all human. Number two, we have to stay up when someone fails us. It's going to happen. Just expect it, okay? Don't put too much confidence in a person. Don't put too much faith in a group or an organization or a government. All right, you're asking to be disappointed. You're setting yourself up for failure there. But then lastly, when someone else falls, let's learn to lift up others. In a practical sense, when somebody's going through a hard time, shoot them a text. Hey, I'm praying for you. You know, go greet them with a smile. Try to do something tangibly for them if you can. You know, nobody ever made a difference on spare time and pocket change. Right? It's time that we get out of our comfort zone a little bit. We stop making things all about us, and we start looking for other people who we can invest in and make a difference in their life. But then when one of us falls, right? In a room this size, somebody, and I hope it's not right now, but in the future, somebody's going to fall into sin. Somebody's going to mess up. We should have, that person should be overwhelmed with the amount of support that you know, people just going by trying to reach down and restore them back to the fold. So many times that's not the case. So many times we sit up on our high horse and we think I'm better than that person, and that attitude shows more of our own pride and our own sinful state than that person who's there on the ground. And we need to just be spiritually mature like this verse in Galatians and realize, you know what, more than anything, I'm called to restore this person. I'm called to lift them up. I'm called to be an encouragement and a blessing in this person's life. As Christians, we can enjoy living victoriously here on earth. We can press on for that upward way, but that doesn't happen on accident. You don't just wake up and you know, I'm living the victorious Christian life, right? I'm being used by God. I'm excited. I'm happy. And things are going great. No, so many times it's because we get lazy in our Christianity. It's because we allow it to just become a routine or just something that we do. We don't even know why we do it. To where that's when church becomes, oh, I have to. Right? That's when the song service comes around and, all right, here we go again. I wish they would just sit down so we can hurry up and go home. Right? You know, so many times Christianity just becomes a set of rituals that we do. We have no idea why we do it. But if we would just put some of these things into practice and just realize, you know what, just the people around me, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We're all clay, right? We're all flesh. And all of our faith, all of our dependence, our foundation should be built upon our Savior. And if we would keep that right perspective, and then when somebody does fall, we would try to be faithful to lift them up. I think that not only would that transform our individual Christian lives, but I think it would transform our church. I think it would transform our nation. If we could have some Christians in America in 2021 get a hold of this concept of, hey, you know what? It's not all about me. It's not all about what makes me comfortable. It's not all about my little world. I need to go out and try to make a difference in somebody else's life. I need to go out and invest in other people. I need to go out and look for people who are hurting, who I can be a blessing to. Look for Christians who have fallen, who I could lift up. This is a side note. This is not my lesson at all. But do you know how many people in our country today are saved, would make a profession to know Christ their Savior, who are not in church today? Do you know how many has-beens there are, right? How many people that used to go soul winning? How many people that used to be faithful to church? Church, our biggest mission field could be this area of restoration, going out and finding Christians who already know it all here, who already know how to go soul winning, who already know how to serve the Lord, but they've been hurt, they've been wounded, they've been kicked to the curb by spiritually immature Christians who should have gone and restored them and helped them. If we could get this concept down and lift up others when they're hurting and restore others to the church, to Christ, that would make a world of difference, not only in our own spiritual lives, but in our nation. And that, you know, this thought here was so convicting when the Lord laid it on my heart, because everything we mentioned here are things that I struggle with. This message was to me tonight, right? You thought it was for you. You're just listening in on me talking to myself, okay? But all these things, so many times, you know, stand up when you fall or get back up when you fall. I'm good at throwing a pity party, right? If you need somebody to throw a good pity party, I know a guy, okay? And so many times when things aren't going my way in my life, I look at the Lord and say, God, that's not fair. And I just forget all the times where he's blessed me. Right, I forget the day after day after day when God is just so good to me, and I need to learn just how to be more resilient. Say, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to be perfect, but God, even more than ever, I need your help. I need your help to get back up. I need to put even more faith, even more trust, even more dependency on you. I was preaching myself when I said I need to stay up, right, when others fail me, because you know so many times I think my focus gets so fixated on other people or organizations or just things that are temporal. And so when people disappoint me, it's like, well, is it worth going on when I should be serving Christ? I should be going soul winning for him. I should be living pure for God. It should have nothing to do with another person. Then lastly, I'm preaching to myself when I say, you know what? I need to lift up other people who are hurting. I get so self-absorbed. I get so wrapped up what's going on with me. I you know, so many times my biggest enemy is the person that I look at in the mirror, right? And so many times it's just God wants, day after day after day, God puts people in my path who I could be a blessing to if I would just wake up and pay attention. Right? If I would just be conscious of the world around me and say, Lord, allow me to be a blessing to somebody today, and if we would just lift up those who are hurting, and if we would just put those things in practice starting this week, you know, this is not something that you have to wait 2 years down the road to do. We can do these things today. We can try to lift up somebody who's hurting. We can try to be an encouragement to people. We can shift our focus back off of people and put it back on Christ and stay up when people disappoint us. And lastly, if you're the one that's hurting tonight, if you're the one who's fallen, whether it's spiritually, whether it's circumstantially, something's happened in your life, a trial that you're going through, we can get back up. Not, and I don't say that in a condescending way. It's not going to be through your own power. I'm not saying get over it. I'm saying by God's help and by God's power, he can help you get back on track. And together, as a church family, we can press forward for the cause of Christ, and we can live on that upward way. We're going to go ahead and bow our heads. And